You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And today's show is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season, of course, is a lot different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you decide to watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. And today on the show, we are going to talk a little bit about some of the news that happened. There were some roster things that went on, some guys coming off of IR, some weird tweet social media drama. We've got a lot to talk about. And then, of course, your questions on Twitter Tuesday. So let's dive into it. The biggest news that came out of Monday is that the Vikings announced that they are taking Pat Elflein and Troy Dye off of IR. They're designating them to return. This is excellent news. Of course, Pat Elflein will be able to go back to playing right guard. They can get the Ezra Cleveland, Drew Samia mess out of there. And while Elflein was not playing like a superstar by any means, he was definitely outplaying those two. So we can be pretty excited about that. And of course, Troy Dye also gives an influx of depth to a linebacker room that really needed it. The Vikings were trotting out guys that they had taken in off the street, the Hardy Nickersons and Ryan Connollys of the world. Todd Davis seems to be improving, but is still like learning the paces of the defense. And now Troy Dye, somebody who was in the building for the preseason, can come back in, and the Vikings were pretty high on his skills to begin with before he went on IR. They also made a couple of additions, namely cornerback Chris Jones, not defensive tackle Chris Jones, has been claimed off of waivers, and he's going to join the active roster. He is a cornerback that didn't play a ton. He played most of his time in Arizona over the last couple of years. He was an undrafted free agent in 2018. Was with the Lions for a hot second, mostly with the Cardinals. And in his time there, he was a decent cover corner, which is pretty good. He played okay as a cover corner. He was so bad in run defense that they couldn't roster him. So this is a bit of a Brett Jones situation where, yeah, he can cover, and that's what you want from a cornerback. But the run, the passing game part is like, I guess, okay, and the running game part is so bad you might not even be able to put him on a 53-man roster. That's, of course, going by off of like PFF grades and production and stuff like that, so there could be a resurgence here, and maybe he comes in and actually competes to get some time, but my guess is that this is more of a special teams depth thing. Maybe this means this portends poorly for Mike Hughes and his neck injuries, and they just need a little bit of depth. Following up on some old friend news, Everson Griffin might be traded from the Cowboys. The Cowboys don't seem to be very happy with his production for the salary that they paid him, and they might be looking to offload the rest of his contract. There's about half of his $6 million contract left on the books to whatever team would trade for him, and so they're shopping him. Don't think the Vikings would bite on that. I think that ship has probably sailed, but never say never, and we'll see what ends up happening and if Griffin gets dealt before the deadline, and the Cowboys can maybe get some more snaps for their younger guys. The other thing is that Jayron Kearse has some thoughts. He tweeted late on Monday night and then summarily deleted a tweet, something to the effect of haha at all of the people that told me to enjoy losing in Detroit. So I'm sure there are some people that when he left the Vikings to go to a divisional rival, they said, enjoy being on the sucky Lions. And now, of course, you know, the Vikings are as bad as they are, and he might have been taking a little bit of a victory lap on that on social media. Listen, Jayron Kearse likes to talk on social media, and I am not too worried about that. He wasn't exactly happy. He didn't get the start here in Minnesota. Isn't getting the start in Detroit either, but I think he took it a little bit personally since he was here for 4 years, and they never gave him the opportunity to be like a bona fide starter, and then they didn't re-sign him, and he's taking a little bit of a victory lap in how poorly the Vikings season has gone. Them's the breaks. When you suck, people laugh at you. And finally, there were some comments from Mike Zimmer in a press conference on Monday that might have been a little bit illuminating about the way the Vikings are approaching the rest of the 2020 season. When asked about the Ngakoue trade, Zimmer said, quote, "At the end of the day, we sat down and discussed it, and we felt like at this time it was best for the organization overall. You know, we've lost a few good players this year, so part of that is what it is, whether it be an injury or whether it be a suspension or whatever it is." He then quickly kind of backpedaled and said, quote, "It's the same every year. We're not looking for 2021. We're looking for what's best for our football team this year and moving forward." But I kind of think the cat's out of the bag a little bit with that. Zimmer basically said, listen, we've lost a bunch of players. It is what it is. To me, that says this season is kaput and they must not have intended to extend Yannick Ngakoue. You can listen to a previous episode for like why that would mean trading him instead of just letting him play out the season or whatever. But they didn't intend to extend Ngakoue and they wanted to trade him for more than they would get if they just let him walk in free agency and get like compensatory picks. So the, you know, oh, that part is what it is and we've lost a few good players, that kind of thing sounds to me like they understand that this season's not going to be a playoff season and they're starting to kind of try to get ahead of what they can get ahead of when it comes to trading players. That's why they've told everybody that their phones are open. Of course, we'll see if they get any other deals done by the end of the deadline, but what that also could mean is that the roster decisions, start sit decisions that the Vikings make throughout the rest of the season could be a little bit more motivated by, you know, getting youngsters experience and stuff, and less motivated by what gives them the best chance to win what will ultimately be meaningless games. You might see more snaps for the rookies and less snaps for the veterans. You might even see Ezra Cleveland get in there. It's a little bit more difficult on the offensive line versus like rotational positions where you can just kind of fiddle with the dials and say, we're going to give you, you know, 60% of the snaps instead of 50% of the snaps. With O-line, it's kind of all or nothing. And so you probably want to, do a little bit more to like figure out your actual configuration and get chemistry with those five guys and kind of go all in on that rather than like rotating guys. They're not going to do a rotation on offensive line between Ezra Cleveland and Riley Reiff just to get him some snaps. If they're going to put in Ezra Cleveland, they're going to put in Ezra Cleveland. That's a little bit more of a difficult decision to commit to than, say, giving a little bit more run to James Lynch. But whatever ends up happening, I am still pretty excited to watch it. Even if it's just watching youngsters develop, that's still pretty hype and like, I'm down for it. But hey, we're used to this football season being different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you intend to watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Also, quick question, now that it's like officially sleet season in Minnesota, do your windshield wipers leave streaks? A lot of people's do. And a quick hack for that, if you want to clean it off, is get a rag, put a little bit of vinegar on it, and wipe down your windshield wipers with that. And if that doesn't work, your blades might be a little bit damaged, which happens over time. And if you need to replace them and you want to do it a little cheaper than like going to a body shop and letting them upcharge the crap out of you, you can go to rockauto.com. Just enter your year, your make, and your model, and it'll make sure you get something that is like compatible with your car, make sure you get the right length and stuff. And you can get new windshield wiper blade like refills that you can just like slide in and out for like less than $3. It is the cheapest thing ever and it will change your driving experience for the better and be a lot safer to boot. So if you're interested in getting something from Rock Auto, you can go to rockauto.com and let them know that Locked On sent you in the How You Heard About Us section. If you don't, I might have to wrestle a bear for tips. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts your car will ever need. Now, let us begin the mailbag for this here Twitter Tuesday. If you want to get in on this, make sure you follow me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. I usually put out the call for questions sometime on Monday, and you can give me your questions about the Vikings or whatever, and I'll answer as many of them as I can on the show. And I want to start with one that comes from Noah Morris, who says, am I the only one that thinks that Cousins is paid appropriately and that the Vikings should just draft a quarterback in the first round next year and just have them shadow Cousins until his contract runs out? And so here's the thing. I think for in terms of like Cousins being paid appropriately, right now he counts for something like 20-ish, I think like $21, $22 million against the cap. That's actually not bad for a quarterback. Quarterbacks make a lot of money in the NFL, and for a starting quality quarterback, even one that is like, listen, right now the way that Kirk Cousins is playing, you probably shouldn't have him on your roster at all, but the level of his contract isn't the problem there. It's the level of his play, right? if Cousins were your starting quarterback and you had him for cheap, he would still suck. And the Vikings would still be just as bad, right? And if he starts playing better, then he's probably going to be worth that contract. I don't really have a huge problem with the like actual price tag on him. It's more of the difficulty of getting out from under it and the commitment to him and the lack of flexibility, which is like the issue that I have with the contract. But it's not necessarily that like they're paying Kirk Cousins so much that they can't pay anybody else. They just went and traded for Yannick Ngakoue for a 12, they like they made that work. They've made other major contracts work. They just extended their running back, which is kind of a luxury. So I think they're fine in terms of like the cap burden that Kirk Cousins gives them. And I think more cap burden comes from players like, you know, Anthony Barr, Daniel Hunter, Eric Kendricks, you know, Adam Thielen, superstars that you should be playing. And then for the second part, should the Vikings just draft a quarterback in the first round next year and just have them shadow Cousins until his contract runs out? Of course, I always think you should do that. I don't know if the Vikings will, but I'm always going to advocate drafting a quarterback, especially if you have a chance to, you know, do your Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. Go after that. You should always want to try to improve at that position. Kirk Cousins is not the best quarterback in the league. Nobody thinks that he is. And if you have a chance to get that, I think you should absolutely go for it. It's really difficult. Nobody's overinvested in the quarterback position yet. They've overpaid bad quarterbacks, but the problem with that is having a bad quarterback. Megan Hobson asks, who do you honestly think will be traded before the deadline next Tuesday? I think I see like Tajae Sharpe or like Pat Elflein. So there's a Jason LaCanfora article at CBS where he kind of this is like where most of these reports are coming from, is from him reporting. He talked to a couple of GMs who had talked to the Vikings, and those GMs said, yeah, the Vikings are trying to offload all their old guys. So they were trying to, you know, offload like according to sources, they were trying to offload like Rudolph, or you could think of like Thielen or Harrison Smith, although those guys would be a little bit more expensive than Rudolph to another team to like buy off of the Vikings. And I don't know if those other teams are that interested in all of the Vikings old vets, right? Why would you trade for Kyle Rudolph at this stage in his career? So I don't know. I think smart money is on nobody else, because I just don't think teams want to buy the players that the Vikings are selling. But if they do sell somebody, it's going to be somebody small potatoes like Tajae Sharpe or like Pat Elflein. That doesn't like change the landscape of the roster very much. In a similar vein, Connor M asks, with a brutal cutthroat perspective and taking age and cap hit into account, who are the players that you believe should be moved despite the connections fans may have? So this is not who will be moved. This is who you think should be moved. If I were in charge, I'd get rid of Rudolph. If I could, I'd sell him. I don't think the Vikings need him very much anymore. They have the horses to go with 11 personnel, one tight end. That tight end can be Irv Smith. And I think if you could get anything for him right now, it's going to be better than what you get for, you know, just letting him play out the rest of his contract and retiring or whatever. I've never been a huge fan of Rudolph. Right now, he's just a red zone guy, and maybe somebody wants that. But I think in the last few years, his like dynamic athleticism, of course, has slowed down a lot. And I don't think that he's currently the fifth highest paid Viking. If you want to shed some cap, that should be the guy. And it sounds like the Vikings agree with me. Maybe Harrison Smith, but you have to, as a part of that trade, like have a replacement option for him, because right now they don't have any other safeties. So if you traded Harrison Smith for an inferior safety and a draft pick or something like that, maybe you could get that one. But it'd be hard for me to be on board with a move like that unless the compensation was like right. If it were me, I would love to move Shamar Stephen. I don't like his contract at all. He's making $5 million to be an everyman nose tackle. And I don't think that what the Vikings are asking him to do is particularly special or requires anything other than being like big and generally knowing what gap you're supposed to be in, which describes like a lot of defensive tackles. I don't think he's generating much of an advantage. But the Vikings like super disagree with me on that. So that's more about me disagreeing with the Vikings' evaluation than like emotion. I don't think most people, like, I think you're just talking about Kyle Rudolph when you're like, you know, take, brutal cutthroat and take agent cap hit and don't worry about the connection fans made. I think you're just talking about Kyle Rudolph. Maybe you're talking about Adam Thielen. Listen, Adam Thielen's still very good at football. If a team wants to trade for Adam Thielen, they're going to have to pay a lot. I think that that move would be like a second round pick based on precedent, based on the way that other wide receivers have been traded, although I don't think I would foresee the Vikings winning a trade of Adam Thielen for a second round pick. Anthony asks, what do you ask the Cowboys for in a trade for Kirk, and what rebuttal offer would you accept? So this is probably a follow-up to my episode yesterday and a little Twitter video I did explaining like what happens to Kirk Cousins' contract in the event of a trade. I said maybe Dallas does. Dallas, they lost Dak Prescott. Now Andy Dalton is in the concussion protocol with a really nasty looking one, and they're like starting like Ben DiNucci from James Madison, right? So they really need a quarterback. I would ask for like Dalton. If it were at any team, I would ask for like their quarterback. Like, give me Gardner Minshew, Jacksonville. If we're doing this, let's do this. But otherwise, for a trade for Kirk, I mean, what would I ask for? I'd ask for a one or a two, right? And I would go probably down to like a fourth round pick. Nick Foles went for a fourth round pick when Jacksonville traded him to the Bears, but his contract was cheaper and he was, and I don't think he's as good as Kirk. I think Nick Foles is worse than Kirk Cousins as an asset. So, you know, Cousins is a more expensive but more valuable package. So you could probably, like, as a floor, I probably would hang up the phone for anything less than a fourth round pick. I don't think you have to Osweiler this. I think Kirk Cousins has a tendency to, you know, play up a little bit. I don't think you need to like Osweiler this. I think you could probably convince a team that, listen, Kirk Cousins is streaky. He's on a bad streak. It's going to turn around any second now. And that's kind of what happens, right? September of 2019 was like the worst stretch of play in his career. And then he did the famous October thing when we were suddenly talking about him as an MVP candidate. And I think he just kind of does this. So it could turn around at any moment. He could come in and hang 45 on the Packers next week. And I wouldn't even be that surprised. He's just kind of like this. And I think if you could explain that to a team, you could probably get them to realize that the contract that they would inherit and the level of play that they would inherit from Cousins is worth giving up a draft pick for. And you wouldn't have to be like, here, please just take away a second round pick and take the contract off of our hands. I don't think you need to do that. Landon Renly asks, is Unique a worse player than we thought we were getting? Saw some film evidence that hinted toward that. So you're probably talking about, I think Brandon Thorne talked about it a little bit. He's a great offensive defensive line analyst. And he was kind of talking about how a lot of Ngakoue's sacks were cleanup sacks, how his pressure rate wasn't quite as good as you would hope, and how he still kind of had his same run defense thing. So I think the Vikings probably thought they were getting more of a star. And I think his play over the first 6 weeks kind of said, okay, we don't want to extend this long term. We're going to kind of offload it now while the getting's good. And I kind of still think that it would have turned around. I think that his pressure rate, the cleanup sacks are something that he's kind of proven to be able to sustainably get. He's good at cleaning up, chasing down mobile quarterbacks and stuff. I think that's a valuable like skill set that's worth something. It's not worth as much as getting, you know, Aaron Donald fly through the line and kill someone sacks, but I think it's still worth something. And I think that his level of play was getting better and better. Remember, the first couple of games were bad because he was new to the team, and the more experience he got with the team, especially if you could give him a regular offseason, I think he would have been worth extending. So I kind of would have advocated for that, but it didn't seem like the Vikings were into that, and so that's kind of why they traded him away. I've got a lot more questions that I want to get to, so stick around and maybe I'll get to yours. I'll see you in a sec. All right, continuing with the mailbag, next one comes from EGS2123, who says, do you see the Vikings window closed, or can the franchise reload next year and compete in 2021? So this is something I've talked about before, but it's been a while, so I guess we'll talk about it. So this is something I've actually talked about a lot in the past, but it's been a while. So here's the thing. I don't believe in windows, and I don't believe in ceilings. I think every year is a new year in the NFL, and all 32 teams go into that year thinking they can win, even if you're bad. I think every year you probably have maybe 5 or 6 teams that you can like reliably count out before the season, right? There's always some Jets. There's always, you know, you can always be like, all right, the Browns are, I mean, they're decent this year, but you know, you can always kind of look and say, all right, we know the Jets are going to suck this year. You know, we know the Dolphins probably aren't going to get it. This team's got a rookie core. You know, there's a lot of teams that kind of are either so deep in a rebuild that there's nothing. But I don't really view like finite Super Bowl windows as a thing. I think teams are kind of want to be, you know, fully competitive. Like Pittsburgh isn't in a Super Bowl window. They've been in a Super Bowl quote unquote window since they got Ben Roethlisberger since, you know, 2004. It's not like this fleeting thing that you can only ever keep it together and you have to have this perfect confluence of, you know, a perfect roster and a great quarterback and a good coach and a decent salary cap thing and maybe, you know, a good rookie. You don't have to have that kind of perfection. We as Vikings fans might kind of think that because everything we've had that's been even a little imperfect has been exposed in the playoffs. But, you know, there have been much worse teams than probably 10 teams in this league right now that have actually gone on and won the Super Bowl. So I don't really believe in like windows or whatever, and I don't believe that there's such thing as a ceiling. I don't think that there's a team that's good, but only exactly good enough to like win a wild card game and that's it. Like I think that would be a very strangely specific amount of good, a team that's good enough to make the playoffs, but only win exactly one game or only win exactly two games. I don't think that there's like a ceiling there. I think there is something to being like bad in the postseason, like if you're Marvin Lewis or whatever. But I don't really think outside of those extremes, I don't really think it's like accurately defines anybody in the NFL. Every year is a new year. 2021 is going to be a new year, and we're going to see how the team looks then. Kai Viking says, how do the Vikings get rid of Cousins' $39 million or something cap hit next year if they don't want to trade him this coming offseason? So of course, you don't want to trade. You have two options for cutting him. You could like do restructuring, but restructuring just keeps him here longer, so you're not exactly getting rid of Cousins, right? If you wanted to lower the cap hit, you could restructure him if you were okay with keeping him here longer. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Kai Viking, that's not what you're getting at. If you cut him, you eat a $31 million dead cap hit, and that's actually $10 million more than you thought you were going to, because he has the $10 million signing bonus in 2022 that then you have to eat in 2021, and you are now, it's now, he just became a $31 million charge instead of a $21 million charge, so he's $10 million more expensive than he was before you cut him. It would be cheaper to keep him as your 53rd player and never activate him, right? Or if you wanted to do a post June 1st designation, you could keep the cap charge neutral for 2021. So the cap space wouldn't change at all. And then you'd just still have to pay the $10 million in 2022. So you just wouldn't have Kirk Cousins, but you'd still be paying for most of Kirk Cousins, except for that $35 million deal. The problem is you also can't unguarantee that $35 million because if and do like a post June 1st. If you cut him post June 1st, that's after his March 3rd or like first day of the league year or whatever trigger for the 2022 money becoming fully guaranteed. So it would actually be worse to cut him post June 1st. So it's really, it's either trade him or nothing. Or if you're really, really happy with him, you can restructure him. Kind of don't see that in the cards. Mike Dory asks a really interesting one. When is the last time a top five paid running back won a Super Bowl? So I looked this up. Marshawn Lynch in 2013, Reggie Bush in 2009, and then the data gets really, really spotty. I think 1998, Terrell Davis was like the only one, but after like 2007, 2006, the data on this that I have access to gets really, really spotty, and I couldn't find any better data. But that's also so long ago that it's not really relevant anyway. So yeah, Marshawn Lynch in 2013, the 2009 Saints with Reggie Bush was the top paid running back. Also going through all those running back contracts, holy crap, in 2015, the Vikings paid Adrian Peterson $15 million. That's more than Dalvin Cook will ever make over the life of this contract in 1 year. That's like the highest cap charge that Dalvin Cook will ever have, and he probably won't see that money, and they paid it to him 5 years ago in that cap environment. Absolutely insane. But I digress. I think this is about Dalvin Cook. I'm going to make it about Dalvin Cook. Sorry, Mike. I know you didn't technically say that. Dalvin Cook will actually probably never be a top five paid running back. He is not a top five running back this year or next year. He's only make like $5 or $6 million. There's a bunch of running backs making more. In 2022, he would be the fifth paid running back if nothing changed, but somebody's going to get a contract, right? Saquon Barkley's going to get paid. Somebody in there is going to get a contract and probably out earn Dalvin Cook. That's just the way things go. By 2022, he's probably not going to be top five anymore. And he probably will never be over the actual life of his contract. Stizo asks, who are practice squad players on other teams that you would like the Vikings to target? Last time we had a horrible season, we got Rashad Hill that way. I like where your head's at. The Vikings are always trolling this. They're going to know more than I ever do. I didn't look through like everybody's practice squad or whatever, but here's a couple names that are a little underrated that I like. And the interesting thing about the practice squad this year is that there's veterans on it. So there's guys like in Arizona, there's like Prince Amukamara. If you want a veteran cornerback, you could just like take him right now. The 49ers just waived Parnell Motley. He's a guy that I was kind of into as an undrafted free agent, as a kind of late round guy. He's a rookie cornerback. He's a really scrappy fighter dog type. I think he's got a lot to learn, but I like that attitude in cornerbacks. A guy that was linked to the Vikings a lot pre-draft was Prince Tagovailoa. He is currently on the Eagles practice squad. He didn't make their team. He's kind of coming off some injury, and he's like this mega raw player. Teams, he fell a lot further than we thought he was going to, considering his athleticism. So he might be somebody to kind of look at. The thing about Rashad Hill is they liked him because he had this ridiculous wingspan. And they thought that they could mold that into a tackle, or they thought they liked the potential for that to be like a decent, you know, rosterable player. And I think that bore out, right? Rashad Hill's one of the better backup tackles in the league. And maybe you could do the same thing with like Prince Tego Inogo if you could like teach him stuff. But I think he's a little too raw and teams kind of strayed away from him because it seemed like he was the kind of raw you might want to stay away from, the wrong kind of raw. There's also Snacks Harrison, Damon Harrison. He's on the Seahawks practice squad, but he's actually gotten some offers to be rostered elsewhere and he's declined those offers. So it seems like he's got some sort of arrangement with Seattle that you can't get in on that. Doug Omtvedt, sorry if I said that wrong, said, what do you feel is the biggest reason for the fall this year? Free agency losses, injuries, lack of free agency signings, or coaching? So of those four, here's the deal. They lost like 10 major players due to a combination of those reasons, right? Some of them were free agency losses. We kind of talked about those yesterday, whether or not to actually regret them. There's been a bunch of injuries, right? Losing Danielle Hunter and Anthony Barr is really going to put a damper on your ability to get pressure, and your ability to get pressure goes down. Your cornerbacks are going to have a rougher time. And when they're young cornerbacks, then that's like exacerbated, right? And I think it's best, honestly, when it comes to like offseason moves, to go agree / disagree, like kind of case by case, rather than assessing which ones had the most impact. You know, the Diggs trade, that's a trade that I kind of think was their worst move of the offseason process wise, but it probably worked out better than moves that I wasn't nearly as mad about. Like, I was not very mad about Linval Joseph, but the cutting of Linval Joseph has hurt the Vikings more than trading Diggs did. But if we want to like use this to, you know, like inform future decision making, I would much rather avoid trading a good veteran player for a draft pick that could, best case scenario, go 1-for-1 with him. Then, you know, and like exposing yourself to all the risk that comes with that, I would much rather get that out of the process than getting out of the process, oh, this guy's old and expensive and not playing up to par anymore, we're going to cut him. And by cutting him, we risk that he kind of has a resurgence elsewhere. I would take that risk again. I probably wouldn't do the Diggs trade again, even though the Diggs trade worked out. That's kind of the process over results like paradigm that I prefer to apply to these kinds of things. But to actually answer your question, what do I feel is the biggest reason for the fall this year? I would probably say free agency losses and a lack of free agency signings. Like I would call it like a tie. I think there are some really reasonable things they could have done and declined to do. They were in on a lot of cornerbacks and they got outbid, and those guys ended up signing like $1.5 million contracts, letting that outbid you, and then having the corner play you have now with, you know, rookies being thrust in because you don't have an option. I think that's a failure that probably has a lot to do with it. And I also think lack of preseason, man. It's a weird year. It's the COVID year, and I think a lot of this stuff doesn't repeat itself next year. Finally, Riley Osborne Hudson asks, how does someone who is deaf learn how to read with never being able to hear how a word is sounded out? I've been thinking about this all day. So I Googled this, and it turns out it's the same way that we do, where, you know, if you were a kid, you know, you'd sound out a word, but instead of sounds, they just think in sign language. And like, it's like, you know, any language, right? Like if you grow up in a language, you think in that language. And with deaf people who could never hear, they just think in ALS. So it's the same like brain process. It's just, think of ALS as a different language. So tomorrow on this Vikings podcast, that is definitely a Vikings podcast, usually it's our rewatch Wednesday, so we'll have some tape to go over, but we don't have a Vikings game, so we're probably going to look at some other tape, maybe with the angle of learning something about technique, learning something about scheme, learning something about the Viking scheme or something like that. We'll talk about that then. But in the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. I will see you all tomorrow for whatever weird tape thing we end up doing. We'll see what it is. And as always, skull.